Welcome back to Radio Physics, a collaboration with the Aspen Center for Physics, KD&K Community Radio in Carbondale, and physics students from local high schools. The interns spend 2 weeks working at the center here during the summer and get to talk one-on-one to some of the distinguished physicists who are visiting. I'm Emily Taylor, Communications and Development Manager at the Aspen Center for Physics, and I'm hosting today's program, which is being recorded here on campus. Our intern today is Isaac Thompson, a rising senior at Coleridge High School in Newcastle. He will interview Javier Magan, a theoretical physicist and professor at the Institute Balseiro in Bariloche. His research focuses on quantum aspects of black holes and, more broadly, quantum gravity. Take it away, Isaac.
Thank you, Emily. So my first question to you is, why did you choose to become a physicist?
Thank you both for the invitation. So when I was a young high school student, I really loved mathematics, physics, and engineering, like STEM studies. And I don't know, it was a little bit of a lottery that I ended up choosing physics. I think I really like mathematics, but I thought it was maybe too away from everyday life, so I choose physics. And then it was I think it was really the right choice. I decided to be a physicist, to be a theoretical physicist very early in the career, basically due to the subjects of after studying classical mechanics, quantum mechanics, and general relativity. I think there are like some topics in the undergrad of physics that really blows your mind. And the professors also blew my mind. And already by the second year degree, I knew I was going to make a career in theoretical physics.
Okay, nice. And as Emily mentioned, you're kind of focused on like quantum and black holes and quantum gravity. So how did you choose that like specialty in physics itself?
Yeah. So after the undergrad, as I told, I knew that I was going to do theoretical physics. I still didn't know the topic. So basically, when you know that, you apply for masters on theoretical physics, master studies, and then the master, of course, now focus on several topics. And when I arrived to the master, I had this professor who was José Barbón, who was an expert on quantum gravity and black holes, and he was teaching me those topics, and I fell in love immediately. And I asked him to make a master thesis, and it started there. I think black holes and quantum aspects of black holes basically kind of touches every single interesting concept in physics, ranging from quantum info, quantum chaos, general relativity, cosmology, quantum field theory. Like, it is really like a point in the middle of some of the most exciting aspects in theoretical physics. And I felt lucky that I ended up with that professor.
So did you ever consider like switching from quantum of black holes, or you kind of just focus on it and stayed with it until now?
No, I mean, actually I have, I now do research in more topics in theoretical physics. Basically, I have three lines. One is quantum black holes, and another is quantum field theory, and another is quantum complexity. So as I said, like the study of quantum black holes, as Professor Juan Maldacena once said, always teaches us that you didn't study all the topics in physics, because everything they kind of make appearance there. And to study quantum black holes, you need to also make progress in other aspects of theoretical physics, such as quantum field theory, such as quantum information, such as quantum complexity. And at the end of the day, you need to be also top at the forefront of research on those areas, and you also need to make research on those areas. So actually, the research is kind of broad already. But in a way, in my soul is always thinking in like quantum gravity and quantum black holes. So quantum field theory is well, arguably the most important theory in theoretical physics, because it's a creation of humankind in the 20th century that has been tested in is so it's a very complicated theoretical machinery, but that has been tested to great precision in the particle accelerators that probably you have heard about, like the last one in CERN. And but it's still it's fair to say that it's purely understood. It's just understood in some regimes, and like maybe 50%, 60% of theoretical physicists work still in that topic. Actually, Juan Maldacena, professor at IIS, discovered was famous for that is that quantum gravity was the first definition of a theory of quantum gravity, and it was in terms of a quantum field theory. So basically what we learned from that is that there is infinite space to make progress in this quantum field, in this topic of quantum field theory, and we all study that. Maybe that was a little bit abstract. Let me just say that quantum field theory, in the most basic understanding, describes our understanding of particle physics. So basically, the atoms that we are made of, they are made out of smaller particles, electrons, protons. Quarks, photons, the particles of light, and also the particles of the other forces. So all those particles are described by a theory that is called quantum field theory, and in particular by a particular theory that is called the standard model. And that is maybe one of the most important constructions that are still understood. Also, it applies, actually, it really transcends theoretical physics in the sense of high energy physics. It goes also to what is called condensed matter physics, the study of phases of matter at low temperatures. And those, for those, the quantum field theory also makes its appearance in the form of another type of quantum field theory that are called conformal field theories. And so quantum field theory is really like some kind of framework that permeates many of the studies across. It's very interdisciplinary, and the importance is very difficult to underestimate. To overestimate. And then quantum complexity and quantum information. Well, maybe in actually Aspen Center for Physics have hosted in the past decade probably many conferences on the interplay between quantum information, between the new ideas in quantum information and theoretical physics, in all the different topics ranging from quantum gravity to quantum field theory to condensed matter physics to even some experimental aspects. Basically, quantum information has taught us how to ask questions about quantum mechanics more properly. More properly it deals with how information gets transferred from emitters to receivers, and the way it does is very difficult. Is very different from the classical counterparts, and it can be used in many different ways. And this has been. It's fair to say it has been a revolution over the past two decades, and what is interesting is that it didn't only stay a revolution for the quantum info, let's say, researchers, but it actually was applied to all these more fundamental, let's say, research areas like theoretical physics.
Okay, another question I have is, so theoretical physics and like quantum theory and stuff is very complex, and I was wondering how often you like team up with experimental physicists, or how easy it is to get data in the real world to like help support your theories.
Well, actually, that's a very good question, and I'm maybe not the right person to answer. So I'm very theoretical, and I would like that my field would be more connected to experiments. So, for example, quantum field theory. It's very connected to experiments through particle accelerators and through experiments in low energy theories in condensed matter physics. Mm-hmm. And people in my community always try to kind of gravitate towards those those points of contact with experiment. But it's certainly difficult, and that of course creates a problem in the community, because at the end physics is a scientific theory that really needs experimental evaluation to decide whether one idea is correct or not. And in a way, we are living in a moment in the past, maybe already 4 years in the context of quantum gravity, in which we are far away from contact with the experiment. There is the hope that quantum information, for example, would help to make quantum computing would help to make like kind of experiments, or like you could say fake experiments, but we could simulate physical systems that were out of reach, like in the real, but we can simulate them with a quantum computer. That is a place of hope to make progress in our understanding of these theories. And also another point of contact that there is some hope, but it might take some time, is cosmology. Cosmology, the experimental progress is being quite impressive, no? In the past 2 decades, basically before the past 2 decades, there were very little like precision tests in cosmology, and now it's like there are aspects in cosmology, like for example the cosmic, what is known as the cosmic microwave background, or observations of black holes in galaxies. People have the hope that will again bring the communities of like high energy physics, like very high energy physics, like quantum gravity theorists and experimentalists together. But I think it's a critical question that it's not that we can be very happy about at present for my community at least.
And then you also mentioned how quantum computing could have effect on like simulating things. And I was also wondering, with the emergence of like artificial intelligence, if you predict this will have any effect in the field, or could help make some breakthrough with like simulating experiences as well.
I think there are many, these days here at Aspen, timely with the conference that we about black holes that we are having, there is also a conference about machine learning, but it's not people only from machine learning. They are actually researchers on cosmology. So it is, and this happens again also for particle physicists, and artificial intelligence is really already making an impact on like everyday research. I personally still don't use it for ideas. I mean, maybe for writing, you can ask, but it's difficult to estimate what will be the impact in certain fields. I mean, in my field, it's a field that is highly abstract and highly creative. It really has to do with new ideas and breakthroughs, and maybe in other fields in which there are more definite programs that are needed to follow and that can be improved. Maybe in those fields it will have an earlier impact. In my field, it's difficult. There was there was actually in the Strings conference happened 1 week ago at CERN. There was a talk by an expert on artificial intelligence, which was before. I mean, many of the people that are making research in AI, in Google, and in other places here in the States are actually theoretical physicists that of quantum gravity theories that started doing that. And he was saying that in 10 years, artificial intelligence could do theoretical physics better than than us. We'll see. We'll see. The man against the machine. I still doubt it. But the same. I must say that also these things are also sometimes overhyped, and which is good because it creates excitement and impulse. Yeah. But also one has to well, stay a little bit calm and say and see what happens with quantum computing. A little bit happened that, no? There was a lot of hype that, I don't know, quantum computers, they were going to arrive to our homes like
tomorrow.
Yeah. And then, still we are here, and maybe we will have to wait a couple of decades more or 3 decades. So, yes, I don't know. It's very difficult. It's certainly going to change. It's certainly changing life and enterprises. It certainly already changes science. That's the truth. And whether it really, could substitute, a theoretical physicist in my field, I cannot say.
Okay.
But, I would say not, but it's just an opinion.
And then in your field, is there like a very specific thing, like if you could make a breakthrough that would like revolutionize the field, there's like a very specific topic, or is it more just like broad in a lot of different fields that still need research done?
Can you elaborate? I didn't understand exactly the question.
So kind of what I was asking is like, is there one specific idea that is kind of like holding up other parts of the field from advancing?
No, I think, let me answer something. I don't know if I got exactly the spirit of the question, but there are many levels of revolutionary ideas. No, when you enter, so when you are outside science, I don't know, you know about general relativity, Einstein, and maybe you know about the Higgs field, or maybe you know about black holes. And when you enter, there are many types of revolutionary ideas of different grades, no? And those permeate the research at very different levels. And I think science is exciting because of that. There are many, many different directions, many different proposals. And there are some mainstream ideas that sometimes also that have the advantage of providing a lot of excitement and a lot of energy, and also sometimes shadowing other ideas that maybe are better and that they need to grow. But so it's a little bit like a jungle, and ideas kind of fight with each other, and also collaborate with each other, both things. And at the end, over time, the whole thing of science is that until the moment, the best understandings and the most correct theories kind of survive and make their way to other kind of revolutions. So at present, I think there are many ideas in my field, very interesting. There are some more important. I think the most important is still something that happened 20 years ago, which is the 25 years ago, which is the holographic correspondence, the ADS-CFT correspondence proposed by Juan Maldacena. And it has been really, really fertile. And inside that umbrella, there have been many revolutionary ideas that opened the way to connect with different fields and to transcend it started being very stringy idea in a string theory, no? And now we can talk about that with even condensed matter physics, quantum information theorists, quantum complexity theorists, artificial intelligence. I mean, I think that is maybe the most established and most important and fertile, but there are many, and there are some that are dying, some that are growing or getting birth. I don't know if that was the question.
That was a good answer to it. And then another question I have is like in the next 10 to 20 years, like if I consider becoming a theoretical physicist, what are some of like the most important like topics you think that will emerge in like the recent future?
That's another very difficult question. I would say as an advice, I would say if you want to be a theoretical physicist, I think you should at the end, at least at present, maybe in 20 years, artificial intelligence would say another thing, but at least at present, theoretical physics and other sciences done by humans. And then at the end, many things are interesting. And the point is not maybe at the beginning, not, of course, if you are really passionate about a particular topic, it's good that you pursue that. But also it's good that you find a person, a professor that really inspires you, and that is active and is developing topics that are interesting for the community, and that and that he or she does it in a like in depth, no, with honesty and in depth. And it's very difficult. The community fluctuates a lot, and fitting with a student with a professor is something not so easy, and or with a group. And so if you find some group that you can interact well, it will lead. So it's what I'm saying is that no topic that you do truly and in depth will oblige you to stay in that topic forever. On the other way, it will put you in a position to study other topic much better in the future. Okay. So I would say that it's better to choose a good group and a good professor, and of course that you like what they are doing. Maybe, I mean, if you want, I mean, for at least for at present, what I do, I really loved, and I think it's going to remain very important. So the questions about quantum gravity, in particular, the questions about the interior of black holes, the singularities that appear in black holes that need to be resolved, the singularities that appear in cosmology, in quantum cosmology, that need to be resolved. Formal aspect, I mean, like our proper understanding of quantum field theory that will kind of permeate our understanding of all the physics that we know. So those topics, I think, well, they are very hot at present, and I think at least maybe for the next 10 years they will be like that. But in 20 years I really cannot say what will be the topic, but I will be prepared to research that, to research on the topic.
Okay. And then the next question I have is, I noticed when researching you had been around to a lot of different institutions in different countries,
yes,
such as Spain, I think the Netherlands,
yes, right?
Argentina and America.
Yes.
So I was curious how your experience, like working in different countries and just with, like, the physics community was in, like, different countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean... so there are advantages and disadvantages. I mean, I myself really like to, before, I mean, unrelated to physics, when I was very young, I really like to travel, and I really like and I travel a lot around the world. And so when the working situation suggested I would need to do all these movings, for me was actually a positive thing. Okay. But it is certainly also challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, emotionally, and well, in a way, you know, like, yeah, you kind of, your soul gets spread over all the world, no, not in any place. It's also complicated. But life-wise for me, at least for a time, I really enjoy it. Physics-wise, I think. Yeah, I don't know. You know, this may be only in theoretical physics. I don't think so. But my experience is that there is some kind of homogeneity in the concept of a theoretical physics institute, and then like you really feel at home anywhere where there is an institute for theoretical physics,
okay.
And we kind of have community or a family that we experience very much similar aspects, similar difficulties in research, also with competition, but also good things like internationality, passion for the concepts and the problems, and so I really like that feeling that yeah, there is some kind of home everywhere in the world, because it's like,
it transcends
countries, no?
Yeah.
You come here, I mean, this is especially amazing, of course, but in a way, there is also this kind of same feeling that I can feel in the, I don't know, in all those other countries, in many places where we go to conferences, and that is, very, very, I think, very good contribution from our community to humanity that is sometimes not appreciated.
Okay. My last question is, like, has there been any topics at this specific Aspen Center of Physics, like, retreat that have, like, influenced you a lot or that you found really interesting from, like, a different physicist or another field?
So right now, these 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I wouldn't single one. I mean, I would single all of them. I mean, I come here at 8 or 8:30, and I will go at 8 in the night, and people don't stop talking to me or discussing questions, and I'm learning a lot. I mean, this is this kind of meetings, also not conferences, but this kind of meetings in which we just meet to work and to discuss with people that they are not in our institutions. They are very rewarding, because we learn, also we get to meet, really, because sometimes we read a paper with a name, and we know the name, but we don't look at the eyes. And so, yeah, I mean, for me, just I wouldn't single one. I have talked with all the participants in the first week, and most of the participants in the second week. And it's a never-stopping discussion of physics. And I have many ideas. It's been very, very good for me.
Thank you so much, Javier. We have been talking with Javier Magan, professor at Institute Balsero. And thank you so much to our high school intern, Isaac Thompson. We hope you have enjoyed this Radio Physics. For more information about our internship program and events at the Aspen Center for Physics, please visit our website at aspenphys.org. That's aspenphys.org. Or follow us on social at @AspenPhysics. Thank you so much.